The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
God is so persistent to invade our everyday lives, even when we're too busy, even when we're not listening.
Next, author Margaret Feinberg encourages us to hear God's voice in the ordinary and every day.
I had a thought pop in my mind, and it was simply, do you want bronze? And I'm thinking, I don't decorate with bronze. Hoover's not bronze. God, if you are speaking, I am a C student, and I need you to spell this out.
Hungry for God, next.
It's a joy to come into your home or wherever you happen to be watching. I'm James Robison. Betty and I are thrilled to have Margaret Feinberg with us. She's written a book. She's actually quite an author and a speaker, just a truly gifted communicator and a source of inspiration. And frankly, I found that she has a real appreciation for the ministry that Betty and I are called to together and our television and mission outreach. This book, Hungry for God, I'm real excited to talk to her about, and I want you to welcome Margaret Feinberg to life today, would you? Margaret, we're glad to see you. You look beautiful. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
I'm curious to know something, and I'd probably like for our viewers to know why the interest, but we have a tweets on our Twitter page. I don't even know if I'm calling it. Y'all call it. I'm a tweeter. I tweet. And I have jamesrobison.net where I tweet. And we have Facebook and all of that. And there's where you can see it. If you look on the screen there, you can see what it kind of looks like. That's jamesrobison.net. You can find me. I write a commentary every week. Usually I address current issues or issues of concern and that we should pray about. But then you have the lifetoday.org, and you can see all the outreaches of life and so forth. But one of the things we have noted, because we've gotten to where we can kind of track what's going on, you tweet, retweet as frequently, if not more, than anyone who takes our tweets and passes them on. Tell me why. I'm really curious about it.
Honestly, James and Betty, it's because we love what you do. You are such an expression of what so much of this generation is hungering and aching for, and the desire to put our faith into action in a practical way. I mean, in a way that is meaningful, that helps make sure people are fed, they are clothed, they have shoes on their feet. And how can you not proclaim the goodness of God and what God is doing through you in ministries around the world? So it is a privilege to retweet what you all are tweeting.
Why do you think that? Why do you think that's effective? And what do you see that doing? Because I think one of the things I've been praying about, and really I'm not a high-tech person. I mean, Betty and I are truly grandparents with grandchildren that are old enough pretty soon for all of them to be parents. So we'll be great grandparents before you know it. But the thing is, we're not high-tech people, but we really recognize that in the social networking, there's the ability mm-hmm. to communicate a truth or truths to the ends of the earth. I mean, networks tend to distort or ignore relevant truth. We can actually communicate meaningful truth in so many different ways to in whatever area of influence we have. Is that how you see it?
Absolutely. Do you know that historically, radio took about 38 years to reach 50 million people. Television did it in about 12 or 13. Facebook did it in 4. And I believe the latest points out that Twitter did it in 2. And so the capacity to reach people is unbelievable, to share the good news of what Jesus is doing, to reach people, to touch people. But I think one of the reasons that we all as believers need to be involved in social media, whether that's Twitter or whether that's Facebook or other outlets, is because ultimately there's a conversation that is taking place. And if we as believers are not engaging in that conversation and are not shaping that conversation, then other people will be. And quite honestly, I don't always like what they have to say or what they have to promote. I mean, why not leverage that to build God's kingdom, to glorify God with that space?
We could actually take truths and really salt the earth with truth. And that I really appreciate you inspiring us and encouraging us by the fact that you're doing it. And I encourage our viewers to become a part of that and access the opportunity, because we do have the opportunity. I want you to tell us about what inspired the Hungry for God title, and really touch on some of the areas of let's say interest and concern that you focus on and that are really in your heart right now for all of us as believers.
Well, you know, I don't know if you like food at all. Any at all. I mean, when somebody starts to talk about some good Texas barbecue or some fabulous Tex-Mex, or it's that hot sunny day and you're talking about sorbet or some of that chocolate ice cream, all of a sudden we start talking about that and there is this hunger level that increases. I mean, don't you want to go out for ice
cream?
Sure,
I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Let's go.
I may leave in a minute.
And if that happens when we talk about food, how much more should that be happening when we talk about God? Yeah. That when we start sharing about the things that God is doing in our lives, both in a personal way and in a community, we start to get hungry. We raise the appetite level for God. And when we do that, we raise the holy expectation that God is going to move, that God is going to speak. God is known as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the last letter of the Hebrew or of the Greek alphabet. And it's interesting because when the Jewish people translated that into their own language, they translated the Aleph and the Tav, the first and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But they also said God is the Mem. He is the middlemost letter. We serve a God who is not just back then and yet to come, but right now, desiring that intimate, engaging, personal relationship with us. And I know that you live in that holy conversational space with God, where he speaks, and it is such a beautiful thing.
Well, he talks to me because he knows I love to hear him. Mm-hmm. And that really is true. I mean, that's what she's talking about, a hunger. I do have a hunger for God, but I have a hunger for intimacy and relationship with him. Mm-hmm. But he also has that desire for fellowship with us. And it was as though he communicated to me once when I was, you know, asking him about, why do you talk to me so much? He said, because you love to hear me. And he actually communicated one time that I actually chase after you to talk to you. And you know, you really see Jesus out looking for the sheep that's outside the fold. If the Lord would chase after someone that's strayed outside the security, he will also chase after someone that he is anxious to talk to because he knows they love to hear him. And I feel like a lot of people, Margaret, don't seem to really have either cultivated or understand they can have this kind of relationship with God. It isn't like out loud. I say it's louder than out loud. It's an impression on my mind, my spirit, my total being. But it is really living in a continuous flow. And I don't think that's some far-fetched hopeless desire. I think it is really the desire of God's heart for those who have a hunger for God. I think it can be really a normal part of the Christian life.
Absolutely, James. I'd even take it one more step further, and that is the idea that we were designed for this. We were all created for this. A while back, I spent time with a shepherdess up in Oregon, and I walked alongside of her as we climbed this little muddy trail. We got to the top of the field. I looked out across this expanse, and there were all of these sheep. And I looked at her, and all of a sudden, she starts whispering at me. And I'm looking at her going, why are we whispering? And she says, because at the very first sound of my voice, they will all come running. And with that, she simply said, sheep, sheep, sheep. And the entire flock bolted toward her. And in that moment, I recognize that John chapter 10 is not just a word picture or a metaphor, this idea that God is our shepherd and we're like sheep, but that we really are wired and designed and created to respond to God's voice. That's what we're meant for.
Yeah. The sad thing is, a lot of times we don't, as Christians, really know that that is available to us. I know as a younger Christian, I thought it was reserved for those in ministry or those, you know, preachers and those that God had really called for something special to do. Well, but he's allowed us through our relationship with him for all of us that be available to us. And through his word, he can, I saw that hunger grow as I got into his word and I allowed him to say, these are my love letters to you. Not just words on a page, but they're for me. And as I began to open myself up and allow him to speak to me through his words, then that communication started. And he's ready and willing and anxious if we'll just ask him.
Absolutely. I think the Bible is the foundation and the filter for everything that we hear from God. If it doesn't line up with God's word, then absolutely, we chuck it. But as we spend time studying the scripture, it's like he expands the library with which the Holy Spirit can use to draw and to speak into our lives, that he'll bring those passages and those moments to life. I remember a while back, I was living in that busyness, that state of just total overdrive. And the way I know I'm too busy is I check the back seat of the car, and if there's more than three Chipotle wrappers back there, I know I've been doing too much. And so I rushed home and I decided I was going to cook up a meal, and I didn't have any food. Like, I had the top ramen and the can of cream corn, and I'm thinking, oh no. So I run to the grocery store, throw everything in the cart as fast as I can, and I have that spiritual gift where when I get to the checkout, I pick that slowest lane. Does anybody, you ever had, you know that one? I know.
I'm anointed.
Yeah.
That.
Don't pray for me. And I got out of that store more harried than when I walked in. And yet, I remember I walked to my car and I was just opening the trunk and I'm throwing in those groceries. And as I do, I have a thought pop into my mind so loud and so clear. And it simply says, I miss you. It was so loud. I looked around that parking lot and there was no one there. And I realized that in that moment, the Spirit of God had spoken to me. And with those big, hot, wet tears rolling down my cheeks, I only had one response. I miss you too. And God is so persistent to invade our everyday lives, even when we're too busy, even when we're not listening, in his love to speak to us.
You know, I think it's really important, Margaret, and for all of you who are listening, to really grasp something that she just referenced that's really important. She said, if it doesn't line up with the word, you chuck it. The real fact of the matter is that we don't hear well if we're strangers to the word. If you really don't have a hunger for the word, not only Jesus, the living word in a relationship, but the hunger for the love that's in the love letters that he has written us in his word, and the faith, which is necessary to please God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. It is the Word of God that tunes our ears to hear, channel Jesus clearly. Mm-hmm. Also, to be able to discern, based upon scriptural truth, the sounds in the spirit world. I think you do an incredible job talking about these different aspects. And just like you, in passing, made such a very important statement, if it doesn't line up with the word, we chuck it, we discern it, as that comes from the realm of deception or darkness. One of the things Betty did that was very meaningful to her when she'd been convinced that she couldn't hear like others could hear or couldn't understand the Bible, which the enemy had deceived her, when she began to hear or see in the word something, she had a comfort level to pass that by me and ask me. And that's really, if Christians would first get in relationship with God, develop a meaningful relationship with other believers, we can pass things by one another so that they can test the spirit, so to speak. See if this is in line, in case that person is simply growing. We'll find some people just get into an immediate conversational dialogue that they actually begin to hear things from God that they will then see in the Word. And that has happened to me very frequently. Even though I've read the Bible, it didn't necessarily lodge in a particular statement until I heard it, went back, and then saw it. So I realized, you know, I'm really moving into a real beautiful relationship with God. And I think it comes from a hunger with him.
I think you're right. I know that's happened for me in my own spiritual journey and just my life. I remember a while back, I was just in a real financially difficult situation. I was praying for provision. And while I was praying, the phone actually rang. And it was a company calling and offering me just an incredible opportunity. And I thought, this must be God. But before I said yes, I remembered the words of my dad. And he said, if you're ever given an opportunity, always pray about it. And so I said, well, could I have a week to pray and think? And they said, we'll give you 3 days. And I said, okay. So I hung up the phone and I just prayed and I said, Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is awesome. But if for some reason this isn't you, let me know. Amen. Because sometimes that's how we pray.
Yeah.
And I remember the next day I was downstairs cleaning, and as I'm cleaning, I had a thought pop in my mind, and it was simply, do you want bronze? And I'm thinking, I don't decorate with bronze. Hoover's not bronze. God, if you are speaking, I am a C student, and I need you to spell this out. And And the next day, I was spending some time in prayer, and as I was praying, the thought fleshed out in my mind, do you want bronze or are you willing to wait for gold? Mm. And I realized what God was saying. So when that company called me back, they said, you're going to take the job? And I said, I would love to, but I've got to pass. I don't feel like this is God's best for me now. And I would love to tell you that the next week, another company called with an even better offer, but that didn't happen. And I remember I was just questioning, and I was starting to doubt in my heart, and I was spending time just like what you're describing in God's Word. And I'm going through and I'm reading in Isaiah when I came on this passage in chapter 60, verse 17, or 16 and 17, and it says, then you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold.
Wow.
When I saw that in God's Word, it confirmed what God's Spirit has been saying. So if we want to hear from God, if we want to walk in the confidence of that relationship, this, as you have said, it is the key. It is the foundation. It is the filter.
Right, and you don't play Bible roulette. You don't just pick it up and say, here. It is possible God would say, pick the Word up, I'm going to show you something. You might just open to the page. That has happened to me frequently. Mm-hmm. That doesn't become the automatic way in which I seek the will of God. The Lord oftentimes will direct me to go pick up a book that's been laying on the shelf for years. Or there'll be one that's in the stack of books that I'm trying to read through, and He'll impress me to pick one up. Invariably, I'll open to a particular page or just open it to wherever I last read. And the very next paragraph or the very next page, God speaks to me very clearly. I have really learned to respond to that still, small voice. Mm-hmm. I don't have to wait for a lightning bolt to get my attention. It's a gentle nudge. The Lord just directs my attention somewhere. Sometimes I talk to someone, pray for them. And I think if we live in that responsive mode, where the gentle breeze, we set our sail to catch the breeze and the wind of the Spirit. We don't have to wait for a storm to get our attention. It's amazing how quickly, how frequently, how often, and how clearly He talks to us.
And I think the word that you're kind of hinting at there is that word promptness, that sense that there's no delay. When we delay, I believe responding to God's whispers and those nudges and those inklings from Him, that there becomes, it only grows. But when we're quick to respond, that also only grows as well. And so that we need to be prompt in responding to those moments, to not miss those windows in time, to not read, you know, a passage or feel that sense that I need to say no to the job and then say, well, but I'm just going to wait and kind of see how long I can stretch this out for, because that's a lot of times, I think, when the doubt and the confusion comes in. But when we respond quickly, there is that clarity and there's that confidence and that sense of knowing that grows and develops like a muscle inside of us.
Absolutely.
Well, and to always remember that he does want His very best for us. He gave His very best for us. So why should we expect any less? And so don't get in a hurry to settle for less than that.
And it's really when we are living sacrifices, yielded, that we can hear and know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We can know the difference in the bronze, silver, or gold. And God's best. Rick Joyner said to me years ago, God spoke this to me for you, James. Nevertheless, He had to come back the next day when neither one of us really understood a word of what He said. He said, I prayed nearly all night. I said, I did too. And He said, God showed me what it was He wanted you to hear. James, nevertheless, nevertheless. Don't ever settle for less than God's perfect will. That's a word for everybody, isn't it, Margaret?
Amen.
That's God's word.
And that truth that you're highlighting, that when God speaks, it is not so much for information. It's not a matter of checking something off a list or saying, okay, I heard from God today, I can move on with my day. But that when God speaks, it is for transformation. God spoke creation into existence with mere words, and the words that God speak to us have that same potency and power, that they change us, they shape us, they live inside of us. And even when you tell a story like that, the hunger in my heart to hear from God, to feed on His Word grows. It is truly contagious.
Absolutely. Would you join us in thanks to Margaret? It's just wonderful. The book, Hunger for God, it's in the bookstores. And by the way, there's her website. If you want to know how you could communicate with her or where she's speaking or to see if she could possibly communicate to your church or in your community, you can communicate through the website. Margaret, we are right now getting shoes like this, little all-weather shoes for children. and we call it Shoes, and then we're doing surgeries, Shoes and Smiles for Christmas. I want you just to look at some beautiful feet. And those of us who are shod with the gospel of the preparation of peace, because it's in our heart, we want to help others. I want you to look at these little feet, these beautiful, beautiful, beautiful children. Got the socks? Just need your shoes.
I'm not even here for 5 minutes and I'm crying. You are concerned about their bellies and their health and the water being contaminated, but you don't think of the disease that comes through, you know, the little precious little bottoms of their feet that enters their bodies and can steal life from them.
You look at these beautiful children and you know God did a good thing. He loves the little children of the world, all of them. And we love them and we want to be able to give them some shoes for their precious feet so when they walk, the disease doesn't contaminate your feet and then get into their blood system.
You know what Jesus said? Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. You know what? We are the representative of Christ. We're his body, we're his family, and we can share his love.
What a privilege it is for me this day to be surrounded by these precious little ones. And I'm going to ask you right now to give them something that sounds so simple that we take for granted, and that is to put shoes on these little feet. Your gift will not only provide shoes for these precious children, but it will also provide smiles, new smiles, for the children who need cleft palate surgery. Oh, you'll be blessed as you put shoes and smiles on the faces and feet of children around the world. Thank you so much.
I don't know what impressions you get when you look at the children. I was looking at their feet, of course, because we're talking about giving them shoes for Christmas, to keep them from getting the parasites and the infectious bacteria and even the hookworms that can actually kill them. We want to give them that, but I got to be honest with you. When I was looking at those children, I saw so much more than feet. I saw precious, beautiful little children. I saw children that God wants to love and hold. And Betty, without exaggerating, when you express the love of God, you actually are putting his arms around them. And that's what I want to ask you to do. And I pray this. I mean, I prayed it before we came on the air. Every person watching, please help us. Help those children. We have targeted, with the missionaries' help, areas where we've got 200,000 children. Some of them are going to have tiny little feet like this, just learning to walk. Others will be older children, and we have a Velcro strap that they can adjust it to where, and this shoe will last. It's a all weather. It's really resistant to rotting or to the terrible conditions they live in. And they can adjust the strap. This is something they can wear for an extended period of time. Would you help us this week by dialing that number? And if you could give $1,000 or $144 as an example, we'll give 40 children shoes. If you could do that, 36, we'll give 10 children shoes. I don't think there's anyone watching that can't at some level just reach out and say, I'm going to touch those 10 children. And then I want you to really pray about this. This is a fantastic gift. Children that have deformities in their face, cleft palate, some other facial deformity. We want to do the surgeries that is corrective. It averages $500. Could you give a surgery? Or maybe two or several. You may want to make a sizable gift and say, use this to give shoes and smiles. I want to do what I can. But I'm asking that you help us. Please do not think $36 is not much. No, it's real big to those 10 children. I'm asking you, please make that call. If you want to go to lifetoday.org, feel free to do that. Or you can simply dial that number. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us what you're putting in the mail, because we depend upon you. Make that call. Thank you for making the gift. Thank you from the bottom of our heart.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. For most of these children, they've never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in the light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections that could lead to crippling consequences, disease, and even death. By responding today, you can help life immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 200,000 children around the world just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will provide 20 pair, and a gift of $144 will help provide 40 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. In appreciation of your gift, be sure to request the inspirational new book, God Wants You to Be Happy, by James and Betty's son, Randy Robison. With your gift of $100 to help provide 28 pairs of shoes, you may request this beautifully crafted shoe ornament to place on your tree each Christmas. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
There you go, buddy. Look at that, brand new shoes. New shoes on dirty feet, but you know what? Not all of you can come here and have the privilege that I have of actually putting the shoes on the feet of these beautiful children, but you can still be a big part, because really, you know, we can't do it without you. This is not just something fun for them. I mean, they love it. We're also improving their health. This is a significant outreach. These children are all smiling because we've given them new shoes, but there are others that need a little extra support to correct that cleft palate so they can have a smile too. I hope you'll make an additional gift today as we take the shoes and smiles to as many children as we can. Go to the phone, go online, do the best that you can, and you can give shoes and smiles to children all over the world.
If you'd like to have Margaret Feinberg's book, Hungry for God, because you do have a hunger for God, I think she'll help you. Help tune your ears, too. And Betty and I just want to say thanks to Margaret for really being a blessing. Check out our website, too, and see if you can't pass some tweets along. You want to say thanks to Margaret. Margaret, you're a real blessing. Thank you. And thanks for helping people hear some of the things God's put in our heart. We really appreciate it. All of us can spread the word. Thanks so much for your help and your friendship.
Zone where you and I have the biggest capacity to get sideswiped.
Developing spiritual discernment tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.